You guys get it out?
Thanks to our sponsor.
Yeah. We got another sponsor. And actually, our sponsors are guests today.
That's awesome.
We have Omar. Omar, frontman, creator of the band Tar Pollens. How's it going? Happy Friday.
Thanks for coming. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for joining us. We really appreciate you spending the time. Dude, I had to play that. I know we have our intro song, but
yeah.
That is just, I've been feeling bass. I've been like Curtis Blow, bass all week.
Bringing the bass.
Yeah, dude. I like the guitar more, but the bass sometimes, it's a sneaky bastard, bass guitar, right?
It gets in your soul, man.
It rattles your bones, right?
Yep.
The tires of the car.
It's the tires of the car, right?
The bagel tires.
It's either going to be choppy or it's going to be smooth, right? And it's all the tires of the car.
That's what it is.
I freaking love the bass, dude.
I never learned how to play it, but I bought one. I love the bass.
Dude, the bass.
You still have my bass.
I still have it. I know. I actually play. I was lucky enough. I stood in and played a show with Omar one time.
You
and
reminded
I played bass.
Me. I totally forgot. Like,
it was the greatest thing in the planet to play bass. It was just fucking cool. I learned the bass tracks, and he played a show, and I played in the back, and it was amazing, dude.
Did you have a little bass move going? Or
I had the little, you know, you just you can't do too much with the bass. That shit's bigger than me. So, but not gonna lie, dude, I'm just used to using a pick. So, you can't use the pick on a bass. You're not cool if you use a pick on a bass. So, I kind of had to finger it, and then your finger starts burning, and then you have to use the other one. Then you have to use both.
We're talking about bass, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I better learn how to play the bass, man. Yeah. All that fingering sounds amazing.
All the fingering, dude. Yep. I didn't use the thimble, you know. I go free. I go free bass. I didn't use the thimble.
So if you ain't packing heat or you ain't packing mass, learn how to play the bass?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You can go in there.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the bass is just one of the funniest things. It was like the bass guitar, the electric bass guitar, wasn't even invented. It's not even that old. It was invented like in the 30s or in the 50s. The electric bass was like
the electric bass.
Yeah.
So like that was after the guitar, though, right?
Oh yeah, the electric bass was after the guitar. The electric guitar was before. Ooh. I mean, back in the day, dude, like dudes, the big old double bass, like the friggin' Johnny B. Goode double bass.
Yeah.
Like, I heard that like the basses wouldn't even travel. They wouldn't even travel with the band because the bass was so big. So they used to go by themselves to the trips, and sometimes they'd get lost. So bands wouldn't even play with the basses because they'd never make it.
Oh,
and
shit.
The reason they never make it.
Or was the bass player doing something else, having his own fun?
He was fingering.
He was fingering.
Got talent, right?
But it was like, so they were like, dude, we need to make this a better way. We need to bring this instrument smaller. So this dude from Seattle, I forget his name, he created a guitar, a bass guitar. He put a pickup on it because it was smaller, so you couldn't get that sound anymore. And what ended up happening is, okay, he put a pickup on it, but there was no bass amp. the guitar amps couldn't play the bass, so it was like, oh, this is awesome, but you can't do anything with it. So not until later, fooling around with it, then later Leo Fender, he created the bass in 1951. But after that, I mean, thank you, man. That's been just so juicy. Dude.
So the bass player is like a second class citizen, pretty much, right?
Yeah, doesn't travel with the band.
Sits in the back of the bus.
Back in the day, probably they used to like really big girls too, because it would remind them of the bass guitar.
Fat bottom girl,
finger,
like, you know, whenever you say something, whenever it's boom, oh, it means something.
Yeah.
It like.
It is.
Did I
cool.
shit my pants? That shit was bass.
It is cool, but you're not like the superstar, unless you're the guy from fucking Kiss, you know, playing the bass.
Yeah. Or you're like Les Claypool trying out for Metallica.
What's your favorite bass line of a song? Your favorite of all time?
Yeah, my favorite bass line probably has to be. It's definitely the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's definitely Flea. But there's two of them that like. It's either the beginning of Higher Ground.
That's a good pick.
But at the end, there's a subtle bass solo that he plays. Remember the Coneheads song? What was that one when the Chili Peppers did a soundtrack for the Coneheads? Where I'd go, I just don't know.
So where I got to take it.
And in that
slope.
Last chorus, is going out of control. So I think those off the top of my head are like my two. They win the gold and the silver for the bass. What about you?
Me, it's Archie Brown, the Drells, Tighten Up.
Gotcha.
Oh, best bass line.
That's a little underground, but that's you should check it out.
Look it up. Archie Drell and Drell. That's like before Motown, around Motown, a little before.
Oh, okay, so it's in the 60s.
Yeah,
'60s. All right.
It's like soul, you know. It's like
did he belong to was he a guy that like belonged to a certain company, like a record company, and he has a bunch of songs for other artists?
No, I think they were like one hit wonders, you know. Tighten Up was like, dude, Tighten Up, and it's kind of like. It's almost like back then rap, if I think about it. Because the guy's talking.
Oh, so it's like a double bass.
It's like, no, the guy's playing bass.
But the stand-up.
And then he's saying, now hit on the bass now. And he goes, now hit it on the drums now. Now hit me on the little guitar. So he's like almost rapping.
Got
so it's almost like the first rap song. Now
so it's kind of like back in the day version of, put your hands up in the air. And then I'll do this.
That's what it
and
is.
I'll do that. All right.
Yeah.
What about you, Fonz? Anything stands out?
The Metallica bass solo. Boom.
Pulling teeth, anesthesia. Yeah. I mean, bass comes in all
amazing.
Walks of life, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, bass.
All three different genres.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, bass is like a undercover lover. It'll do anything. It'll do anything. Omar, what's going on with you? How's the Tarpaulins going? Are you guys playing right now?
We're like the lazy Beatles, you know? We you know, I like my songs, you know, I like, you know, playing music, but we're just lazy, you know?
Okay.
And we're fucking lazy, but if we would record an album, it would be the best album ever, but we're just too lazy to record it.
And the first interview would be here on the Wall and Fawn Show, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes.
Perfect. Yes, sir. Properly.
When I played bass with you guys, I was able to meet your drummer. What was your drummer's name?
Jorgito.
George Lopez.
Not the comedian.
But he's sick,
fuck that
man.
Puto.
He's dope, and so I really was lucky, and I was really happy to be part of that chemistry. It was just like, it was cool to be an outsider. Sometimes you say like, oh, I want to fit in. It literally was cool that, like, okay, I learned the song, but for me to just sit and watch you guys, like back and forth and, like, whatever, like, the chemistry you guys had, I was like, you fucking rat. This is, like, backstage passage. Do I'm going to show you my titties or what?
Sure, sugar tits.
Or pumpkin tits.
Either or. Not pancake tits. So that's
that's hash house of go-go shit.
Yeah, all right. So, cool. So you've also DJed, right? Well, hold on. Let's backtrack before the DJing. Tarpaulins, how long have the Tarpaulins been around? Because they've been on the, like, I have heard about you guys for a long fucking time now.
Well, we've been lazy for a long time.
Well, okay. Yeah, lazy takes up time, but
it takes time.
At least existence.
Well, I first started playing with George and a guy named Danny. And we actually played backyard parties with Pastilla and a band called Chicharrinches that used to do, like, Scotia and all that. And we played backyard parties.
And
Chicharrinches.
They're Southgate.
Yeah. Right? So they're all local. We did like 95, I think. We did like backyard parties. And back then I was doing a Spanish rock thing. We were doing shoegazer shit.
Okay.
Which like every time we played, people would smoke weed all the time. Like, oh, you guys are just chill. And they're like, the weed would come out, you know? And then I was like, I gotta speed it up. I want some pussy. I gotta speed this shit up, you know? So that's when I started
playing.
This
ain't getting me lazy.
Yeah,
they keep falling asleep on you. That's
like they would
it.
Smoke weed and they'll fall asleep. Like, wait, I gotta play some faster beats. So that's when I started playing faster songs. So I wanted a little more pussy, you know?
Now, were you guys the Tarpaulins when you were playing Spanish rock?
We were Sub Rosa, and then I think we were Via Satélite, then Sub Rosa.
perfect. So you DJ'd too, though, right?
I did for a little bit because, you know, I liked, I don't like going and listening to the same kind of music, you know?
Right, right.
So I like, you know, but I was like everybody's worst DJ because you would come and request a song and I was like, fuck you, you know? And I'd probably throw a beer bottle at somebody because I was like, well, I want to play what I want to hear, you know? But that's not the best DJ, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
But it's hard to, like be, even not a DJ, but even, like, be in somebody's car or your own car with somebody else and try to figure out what you guys both like.
Oh, it's
or
the worst.
To pick a song.
That's, but then you
got
to worry about, like,
and then as a
people?
DJ, you have all these people. How do you pick a song? You're like, oh, I don't know if they're going to like this. Like, how do you come up with it? You're like, I'll play it, and then, like, oh, shit, they didn't like it. I was like, I feel bad now.
I remember in the early 90s. Now, was it the 90s? Yeah, my brother, we'd go, like, these parties. We go, like, church kids, right? We go to these parties, and then, like, it was back in the tape days.
Oh, the mixtapes?
Yeah, the mixtapes, right? And then my brother, my older brother, I don't think you met him, he made this tape called Super Dance Mix, whatever the year was. I swear to God, one of the songs was a Rick Astley song. That fucking song was in that tape. And if I could find that tape, we'd be fucking laughing the whole track.
That would be the show. Just
dude,
press
that
play,
tape would
press
just be
play, that would
comedy
be the whole entire show.
But I swear it had Rick Lashley. You need the moment to hurt you. And it was there, dude. And I think Come a Chameleon was there, too.
Oh,
right
my
after.
God,
it segued to, like, come a, come a, come a, right after that, dude.
So these are all, like, was this collecting our miles.
So he runs 1 mile, I run 3 miles.
Oh,
so
you guys are like
cumulatively.
Yeah,
yes.
Like a rally.
Ah, look at that.
And we're storing it through the Nike Plus app. And so far, after 2 weeks, cumulatively, all the miles we've gone together, how far do you think we've gotten on the 10?
So 2 weeks. Let's say if you have an hour to spare, you'll go run.
I'll go run. I run 3 miles. I add that to the pot.
Do you run where someone leaves off or just on
well
your
no
own
because
no, we run on ourselves. Like
that'd
whatever.
Be complicated. Yeah. Like
yeah.
Why don't you leave all that?
On the Nike Plus, it has a thing where it shows all our mileage together. And so pretty much those miles, we see them down the road.
So six people, right?
Six people.
2 weeks, I'm thinking.
Don't give us numbers. Give us cities.
Oh, cities.
Yeah. So think of, you got to take the 10 all the way till Arizona, till Texas, actually, the 10, or somewhere over there.
So you're the 10 all the way to Florida.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah.
Okay,
so
but
you're
2 weeks.
Not in Florida yet.
Two weeks.
You're not in Florida yet.
Two weeks.
I'm thinking you're by, you're by New Mexico.
Already in 2 weeks?
New Mexico, L.A., bro. you're leaving California because you guys are not running that fast, probably.
We are not running that fast.
Yeah.
And we stop by every
long.
Bar we see.
Yeah. You guys stop AMPM.
Oh, AMPM, dude. I'm like, I'm dehydrated. I need a Coke. I'm going to go backwards.
I need a donut.
All right, so where do you think? How far do you think we've gone?
Okay, where does it go? Where's the first state it passes after California?
Arizona.
Arizona. You think we
Arizona,
got that far
New Mexico,
in 2 weeks?
Texas.
You know what? No, you guys are in you guys are like in San Antonio, but it can't do that. Where does the 10 run through? Cities.
Fucking everything. All the way like
West
Covina,
Ontario,
Azusa, Pomona, Redlands. You know
you
the 10
Redlands.
Redlands?
Yeah.
You think we're at Redlands?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. We've gone to Palm Springs, so just a little bit over. I like that you think we're badasses that we got all the way to Arizona.
I was thinking you guys
hey, we're doing the show on the run right now.
I thought you guys took like 2 weeks off for work.
These
fuckers are dedicated. I was inspired to write a song about it.
Oh, well, yes, we are.
Fuck it.
We're in Blith or Blythe. Is it Blith or Blythe?
I don't know.
That was
like
a show we haven't gotten there yet because we don't know how to pronounce it. But yeah, so we've done 100 miles, and that's cool. So that's the update. Fonz, some of your miles came from a really awesome experience.
My only miles this week were from Camp Pendleton. I did the world famous mud run.
Dude, that's my first one.
You did that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
It's
man.
Fun, dude. It was amazing.
Is
it's
it
so
tough?
Much fun. The weather was good. It was my longest distance this year. It was a 10K. It was a lot of fun, dude. I mean, I didn't think it was so tough because I didn't run most of it. Because we did it as a team. It was a team of five. We had two teams of five that we went with.
Okay.
And so we have to finish together. So even if you haul ass, you have to wait for everybody to show up.
Got
there's like a team area. So like if you pass everybody up, you just hang out and wait for them.
Got it.
And I was with
and
my
mom. And then you're the asshole because you're like, because this guy thinks he's so cool.
Exactly.
What an individual.
But I couldn't do that to my mom. It was my mom's.
Even more the asshole label, right?
I thought that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
What are you doing here in the team side? I'm just waiting for my mom. She can't keep up with me. What the fuck?
Go, mom. Is team
dude,
mom,
it's a lot of fun. Everybody should do it, dude. Everybody. There is all kinds of people. People wearing like full freaking like wedding dresses and guys in like three like teams with like 3-piece suits doing getting all muddy in their face and everything. It was a lot of fun.
So there's obstacles in this.
There's obstacles, yeah.
What kind of obstacles are your favorite?
There was a tunnel that you had to run through, or just like almost like a lake full of mud with like these little flags that you have to go under.
Insert
so you're
mud run.
So you're pretty much have to put your face inside the mud. Like you have to go under this road, you know?
Wow.
And then just hills. There was a rope crawl or like a what do they call it? Like a ladder.
What do you mean
ladder.
Like but oh okay. And you have to climb it?
You have to climb and go over it and keep
over
running.
Like a wall, like a wooden wall or
something
what?
Like that, yeah.
It's like Double Dare. Remember that Double Dare?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's like
you
Double
Dare. Sludge.
hey, Fonzo said, I'll take the physical challenge.
Get into that butter.
Dude, it's fun, dude. I'm hooked.
So
I am
you would
hooked.
Do it again?
Yes, I'm trying to look for other ones like the Tough Mudder and all those other
Tough
ones.
Tough
fucking amazing.
Cool, man. So
it's my mom's third time. Congratulations to mom.
How's your mom?
At 21 years to my age, so like 53-ish.
Badass. Chronologically, you know, biologically.
I give props to that.
Props.
Yeah,
cheers,
yeah.
Dude.
She's the one that invited us, dude. Me and my sister did it. Yeah.
Oh, did your sister do it too?
Yeah.
It's a family affair. Oh, that's
fun,
dude. You know,
so we're all cheering mom on. Yeah, come on, mom, and this and that. And then, like, everybody else, that's your mom? Like, yeah. They're like, oh, man, that's amazing. It's like, no. This is her third time. She is amazing, but this is her third time. She invited us.
Dude, she invited you know, I'm really happy for you guys, and I'm envious because the most physical activity as a family that me and my family has done has, like, shared a molcajete at El Fracaso. That's like,
you guys are fighting. Give me that.
Yeah,
that piece
exactly,
is mine.
The bottle is mine. And seriously, that's fucking cool that you can do it with your sister and your mom. That is really
And rad. It was cool because we stayed out there. We went Friday night, stayed over there. Freaking did the run Saturday morning, came back. We were gonna go to the pool. Mom says, "Oh, I'm just gonna take a nap." Everybody fell asleep for the rest of the day.
Cause you guys were beat.
We were beat,
dude.
Dude, that's some bomb.
That's man.
Right
that's a man.
How many
right
hours
there?
Is that? Right there?
It was 2 hours. Like 2 hours and like 14 minutes.
Wow.
We did, I think.
That's cool, man.
We weren't running, walking.
What do you grade the way they did the race? Should everyone try the Tough Mudder? Is that what it was? The Tough Mudder?
No,
Mud Run. The
mud run.
World famous Mud Run.
Yes, dude. I highly recommend it. Everybody should do it. It goes for a good cause. So
can it be for
warriors.
All levels of fitness?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
What if you have man boobs like myself?
Perfect.
You could do
it? Yeah, you could do it. Wet t-shirt contest. Muddy contest.
I have a question.
A scale of 1 to 10. Because I live my life on a scale of 1 to 10. What is it? 1 to 10.
It is a 6.
6?
Yeah. Because you don't have to run the whole thing. There's no real time limit. I mean, last time my mom did it because she had some coworkers that couldn't hang, and they did it in like 3.5 hours.
That's fun, though. I like that.
You know, so it's a good experience. You get dirty. You're out there. You know, you're with all kinds of people, really cool people. They had some really cool bands playing afterwards. So it was like a fair, food, beer. That beer afterwards.
That's what I was going to ask you. Hold on. Let me ask you. Let me set it up. Let me throw you the softball here.
Okay.
How, because we talked about this on the last show, how, after you do, like, hard work, that first beer after, how good did that one taste?
Oh, my God.
What was it, and how good did it taste?
Okay, so it wasn't as expensive soft and everything, so it doesn't get all crazy. Try that. It's called shit. What are those guys with the long beards that they have the little carts?
ZZ Top.
That religion.
The Gibbons brothers.
No, nah, from the bowl. Remember that bowling movie? He was from a religion.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Mennonites, the Amish.
Amish, yeah, it was like an Amish brand, and it works really good, man. I have it in my bathroom right now.
That's fucking sick.
To you guys.
Well, what about you guys? That's the more recent one. I mean, it shows how manly I am, but
hey, I'm still growing my beard.
So is that one of the manliest things?
I mean, it feels really cool. I don't care, just whatever. But it is a manly thing for me. I think it's manly to grow a beard or grow facial hair because you can.
Yeah.
And women can't, and that's a man. You're a man, you know. You rawr, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, there's like manlier things, I felt pretty cool when I helped my mom up this hill during the mud run. You know, she was tired. She was getting beat and stuff, and I was like, we pushed her pretty hard, so we were climbing up this hill. So I grabbed my mom by the arm and then like helped her up and stuff. Just kept on saying, one step, next step, next step, next step. So it felt pretty good.
It's fucking
awesome. Just to do that, you know, just like, you know, help your mom along or like help Evelyn's mom when I can.
Yeah.
You know, just to be able to do that stuff.
So when you help a damsel in distress, that's pretty manly.
I think so.
That is. That's kind of like, man, all right, now it's over. You top this off. You top this off.
But like, even like changing the tire in your car, that's pretty manly.
Oh, that is pretty manly.
Right?
I break a nail when that.
It's okay.
I thought AAA.
AAA.
Yeah.
Dude, I did that. Yeah, you're right. In Salt Lake, the tire came off, and I was like, dude, there's no one here but yourself. And I have the tool. So it was like, should I call the tow truck? I'm like, but I have the tool. My hands are going to get dirty. Like, I really don't have any excuse. I mean, I could call. But
that's why
have,
I paid for it.
But I don't have a fucking excuse. That like my tools are there. I go, you know what? Fine. I just went. I got out. And then you have the tools, but you don't have like the comfortable tools. You got enough tools. Like,
yeah.
I didn't have gloves. So I had to pull like the rim off. My hand, like my nail. Like it doesn't sound as manly as I'm describing it. But like, but I did it. You know what I mean? And then you put it back in. I had to go to a meeting. And I got to the meeting late. And I was dirty from my hands. And I was like, yeah, no one in this room would have done it.
Well, my manly thing is I lived in Compton for 4 years.
That's done.
And
man.
Survived.
Close. No.
And didn't join
a
gang.
And funny, and this is a true story. You're going to think that it's not. It's a true story. 1 year I lived in Compton. I was outside, looking outside my front door. I lived on Alondra and Mayo, that's where I lived at, right in front of Roosevelt Middle School. I saw my neighbor get shot. That's not funny, but he got shot, right?
Yeah.
Next year, the same guy gets shot again. And I heard him say this, oh, no, not again.
Oh,
no way. And I was like, he's getting shot again. And then I remember seeing the blue spark. And I saw it. It was like a year to the day of from it.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, oh, no, not again. And he got shot the year after.
Yeah.
And that's life in Compton.
So seeing it is pretty manly.
My balls are
having
bigger because of that.
Having an ex, so if that guy came on board, he would top us all. He'd be like, oh, I shot twice.
He'd have like a missing leg or something.
Yeah, no. All
right. Okay, here you go. And it definitely doesn't meet your mom. I think your mom, helping your mama, that totally takes the cake. Because I got my manliest thing and what I think
$1,000 is like, you know, I'm going to survive. I'm going to take care of my family as good as I can. I'm going to work as hard as I can. I am blue collar, whatever, but I work, and this is what I want to do afterwards. All I want to have is a beer and a shot of whiskey.
Something that
nothing
I can
fancy.
Afford, too, because you're blue collar.
Yeah, it's nothing fancy. It gets the job done. It just feels nostalgic and classic and, you know, just the Budweiser and the shot, and it's like, you know what? My balls just grow. You know?
I think you're right. It does feel a little nostalgic because I just feel like those kind of two things have been around forever. And there's other things that have been around forever as well, but at least forever in my own life, but it's been there since the ninth grade, so it's just kind of like I just continue doing that.
Ninth grade.
Yeah. All right. So here's my question. Is it manly or not manly? Because I feel every man does it. So where does it fall?
It's pretty manly.
Wait, no, not that. Not that. This. Crying for your mom.
Oh, that's manly.
Is that manly? That's not wimpy.
Manly. No,
because every man does it, huh?
Yeah.
Every man. Do you think every man is a mama's boy?
Hell yeah. That's where you came from. You came from your mom, you know?
Yep.
Enough said.
All the manliest guys got the tattoo of mom, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
In the movies.
Mom, I don't have one yet.
Yeah, exactly. You got one that says, wow, but not mom.
No, that's pretty manly. Dude, whatever you have to do for mom, that's manly.
I think so, too. I think mom is the I don't know, it's like the epitome. Every man has to have a mom.
Manliest thing.
Do it.
I had to take care of mom for 5 years.
5 years.
She was sick.
That
five
is fucking manly.
Years?
She passed away 2 years ago. And you know what?
What?
Like you wake up thinking, like, you know what? I don't regret one moment of it. You know what I mean? That's pretty manly.
Dude, that is,
yeah,
you guys
is.
Have
5 years.
You
and
guys,
you know what? I like spend a Volvo probably because, you know, I like Volvo. So I spend like at least BMW money taking care of mom. But you know what? It's one of those things that you don't regret. You're just like, you know what? It's just the way. It's like that old saying, you know, you reap what you sow. It's the truth. It's like it doesn't affect you at all. You're like, hey, you know what? She did good raising us. We're gonna help her out, and that's it.
Yeah.
And
the story.
It. And
yeah.
The story, yeah.
Yeah.
She deserves it. She was good to us. We're good to her. It really goes down to the truth of that. You reap what you sow, and that's just, there's nothing more than that. It's the truth.
But yeah. you know what's also cool is that if we didn't bring up this question, you would never have told us that. And
yeah,
that's pretty. That's manly in itself, because you're humble of what you did. You don't have to, like, you're not asking for a reward. You're not asking for people to freaking, like, praise you for what you did. That's fucking manly. But because we asked you, you answered us, and I love it. But that's fucking manly. That is really manly.
Very commendable, dude. That's fucking incredible, dude. That's awesome. I mean, like, you taking care of your mom and you helping your mom.
Yeah, it wasn't just me. It was like my family, but it was like mostly me and Sam. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, people would say, like, oh, you're an angel. No, you're not. I'm not an angel. It's just like, she was good to us, we're good to her. You know?
It's a testament of how amazing your mom was.
If I swear to God, if mom wasn't a good person, she would have been in a convalescent home. We would have been like, we got lawyers to get her out, put it that way.
Yeah.
You know,
Guitar Paulins, DJ Hex for a brief period when he wants to play his records. No matter what you say, he'll play his records. And
one of the Four Horsemen.
And most of the time, he's pretty fucking, his music is pretty darn freaking cool. And one of the Four Horsemen, yeah, dude, thanks for coming. Thanks for showing up. Thanks for sharing
thanks
some stories with
that
us.
That was fun.
We're not done with you yet, though, man. We want to hear you play some tunes.
Let's do it.
So we're going to mic you up. We're going to play some tunes. But as far as the show, quick notes, quick house cleaning. I'd like to congratulate all of us. We now have over 1,000 page views. Yeah. We got we got like freaking the United States, of course, in the house. But we got like Mexico, Brazil, Russia, Spain, the Netherlands, Germany, Japan, South Korea, and Colombia. All one person in Colombia. But so what?
So what?
So what?